Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Everybody take a deep breath. Oh, isn't he good? Isn't he good? I want to go to... Zink, can anybody quote to me Matthew 6:33? Say it loud. Seek ye first. Everybody say, seek ye first.
Seek ye first.
The kingdom of God. And his righteousness.
And
all these things will be
added
unto you. Who's the adder? He is. Who's the seeker?
We are.
So what are you seeking? Are you seeking what you're supposed to be seeking? Or are you seeking something else? That word seek last week we talked about, it means to explore, to follow, to investigate, pursue, to chase, to inquire, to quest, to be after, to beat the bushes, to dig for, to go after, to leave no stone unturned, to look about, to look around, to look high, to look low, to run after, to search for, and to search out. That's what it means to seek. Don't mean to just casually say, No, it means to have a passionate view of him first. Everybody say him first.
Him first.
His kingdom.
His kingdom.
His righteousness.
His righteousness.
Him first.
Him first.
His kingdom.
His
righteousness. We talked last week about it being the governing part of God. The kingdom of God is seeking the governed, to be governed by him. To seek his dominion. In other words, that his kingdom will govern you and not just govern you, but it will govern through you. What does that mean to have the kingdom of God governing through you? Anybody know? What does it mean for the kingdom of God to be governing you? In other words, it's what you're supposed to do. It's what he wants you to do and you go do it. He says, do this, and that's what we're supposed to go do. He says, don't do this, that's what we're not supposed to do. For him to govern through you, that means that you should be able to say what he says we need to do and what he says we don't need to do, to govern through you. When somebody says, no, I want you to go do this and this and this and this and this and this, is not God, it's wrong, that govern through you means I can't do that. And here's why. It's not to just say, I can't do that. It's here's why. Here's why. Why? Because God is governing through you. He is allowing you and I to be able to witness to others the government of God, to be able to seek his kingdom first, seek kingdom living. Everybody say kingdom living.
Kingdom.
It's one thing to know that the kingdom exists. It's another thing to know that you live in it. The children of Israel when they were going around in the wilderness all those years, it wasn't that they didn't have the promise of God about the Canaan land, about the promised land. They had it, didn't they? Didn't they have that promise? They had the promise, but never lived it out. Got it? They had the promise, but it wasn't a guarantee that they was going to live it. You have the kingdom. The kingdom is here. You don't wait on the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here. The thing is, are we living kingdom living? Are we living kingdom? You know, just because we have a promise for the kingdom don't mean we're going to have kingdom living. Right? You can have the promise all day, but not have the life to back it up. You know, the world don't like that kind of stuff. As a matter of fact, Jesus detests it. Do you know that he did not condemn sinners? He did not come to condemn sinners. Say it loud, say it proud. He did not come to condemn sinners. He condemned sin. He didn't condemn sinners. He came to seek and save those who were lost, those who were without him. So we should have, but you can't, don't condemn the sinner. He loved the sinners. Now, he gave the hypocrites a fit. He gave them a fit. I mean, that's all polished up, shined up, had all the little bells and whistles, and had all the church stuff going on. had all of it nice and prim and proper and everything that the denomination should do. But he gave those guys a fit. Why? Because it was done out of a religious setup instead of a relationship with him. Right? You can have all the denominational doctrine that you want. Doctrine is important. But you can have the doctrine without the relationship, and you've got nothing but doctrine that doesn't govern you. See, his life is about living. His gift is the gift of life. And not just to be able to live it, but to live it. Somebody say the word. Abundantly. Everybody say abundantly. Now, a lot of preachers will say, you know, you're supposed to have all the money in the world. You know, that's not what that means. It means abundant living. He didn't say nothing about possessions. He said abundant living, that you can live in abundance. That's good stuff. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first to be governed by him and to be governed through him in his righteousness. His righteousness. And then all these things that need to be added will be added to you. When you go get them out of your own righteousness, we're in trouble. Have you ever just got some things that you wished you just really never had and went out and bought? Why did I buy this thing? This thing is consuming my time. He didn't add that. You went and got it, but he didn't add it. Why? Because we probably didn't seek him first. And we have a bad habit of not seeking him, seeking the kingdom of God first. We really do. We have a bad habit of that. And he wants to fix that in us. He wants to be able to set the record straight. He wants us to be able to understand that because he is who he is and we are who we are in him, he wants us to live out of that with him first. Everybody say him first.
Him first.
Everything you do is him first. By the way, how did y'all do with Colossians? Everybody don't need to say it, but those that didn't, you can say, oops. Okay. Colossians chapter what?
Three.
That was your homework assignment, to go out and read that. All right, we're going to see how well you did. No, I'm not going to do that to you. I'm going to start giving you things that you need to go study. Matter of fact, you need to memorize Matthew 6:33. Everybody say it together. But seek ye first. Right. We need to learn those things, memorize them. God is good. He will never let you down, no matter what. How many of you know that we've let him down a time or two? You know, because we didn't seek him first, didn't seek the righteousness of God first. We didn't live by faith. He said, but without faith, it's impossible to seek him. I mean, it's impossible to please him. And we should know that he is the rewarder. Everybody say he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You want God's reward? What must you do? So there, really, it's just really that simple. If you want him to be the rewarder in your life, then you must seek him first. You must diligently seek him first. And he said he'll reward you. He's the rewarder. Everybody say, he's the rewarder.
He's the rewarder.
Don't ever forget that. Seek the lordship of who he is. So Colossians 3:1-4 says, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on things of the earth that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also, watch this, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. That word glory is his character. So when he is revealed, you will be also revealed in his character when he's revealed. Show me your glory. Show me your character. Show me who you really are. He's long-suffering, he's patient, he's kind, he's good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Everybody say everlasting. It doesn't run out. It's everlasting. His loving kindness is everlasting. Hezekiah, over in 2 Chronicles 31, Hezekiah did throughout all of Judah, he did what was good, right, true before the Lord his God. And every work which he began in the service of the house of God, listen to this, every work, everybody say every work. Every work which he began in the service of the house of God. Everything what that mean? Everything he did, everything he was about to do, what did he do in the house of God? He said he was seeking God, seeking his God, and he did with all of his heart. He did it with all of his heart, and the Bible says he prospered. Does that matter to you? It matters to me. Do you want to prosper? And once again, prosperity is not always money. You can have all the money in the world and still be miserable, poor, miserable, naked, and blind. Think you got it all going on. Why? Because the reality of prospering is him. The reality of your life is him. Do you know the Greeks never had a word for reality? You know what their word for reality was? Truth. Truth to them was reality. I tell you, one of the biggest battles that you and I are going to face even now in the coming days is going to be the battle for truth. It's already happening. That's going to be one of the biggest battles, is the battle for truth. Because there are going to be so many things being said, so many things being presented as God, but yet God's not in it. There are going to be so many things that's going to be said and persuaded and all the persuasions that we'll run into. The battle is for the truth. What is the truth? What is the truth? You're only going to get it by seeking him. Do you know you can know all the verses in the Bible but not know him? That's what Pharisees did. They knew the scriptures. They knew the Torah. They knew it inside out, front, backwards, every which way. They knew it. It was their job to protect it. But when he shows up, they don't know him. Why? It didn't fit. It didn't fit what they thought he would be like. That's the reason you have to seek him. Because he wants to give you sometimes we just thrive on information. Information is good, yes or no? Yes. Three of you said yes. Yes. If you didn't have the information on getting back home, how would you get there? You wouldn't. But now you've got information. How do you know I've got information? Well, you've got it stored here. You got here and you know the way back. Information is good. But see, he wants to give you something beyond information. It's called revelation. It's called a revealing. It's called by the power of the Holy Spirit to illuminate something in his word, or by his spirit, he wants to show you something you've never seen before, but yet read it 100 times. He desires, but he wants you to seek it out. He wants you to be able to seek him so he can show it to you. And he wants to take that revelation to a place called inspiration. Everybody say inspiration. What is the inspiration for? To inspire you to live what you just got revealed to you. To inspire you. He graces you. So you just don't have truth. See, in him is the fullness of grace and truth. Grace and truth are both found in Jesus. Our truth and grace. He just don't want you to have the truth. He wants you to know that he wants you to have the truth, but he doesn't stop there. He doesn't want you to have a lot of knowledge and that's it. Just having knowledge will puff you up. Right? Did I tell you about the three men in the airplane? No, Pastor, you didn't tell us. I may have already told you this, I don't know. There's three men in an airplane. A hippie, a preacher, and the smartest man in the world. Engines failed, started going down. Smartest man in the world grabbed a parachute, didn't say nothing. He said, I'm the smartest man in the world. The world needs me, and I ain't dying. Out he goes with his parachute. Preacher looks at the hippie and says, listen, I'm ready to meet God. You can go ahead and take that other parachute because there's only one left. So you go ahead and take that. I'm ready to meet God. I've lived a good, healthy life, and you can a good life for God, and you can go ahead. The hippie looked at him. He said, ah, that's all right. He didn't get a parachute. He jumped out with my backpack. That's the smartest man in the world. Pulled the lever and out come beanie weenies and sandwich and bottle of water. Smartest man in the world. You can have all the smarts that you want. Didn't mean you're going to get the right thing. You need some revelation. Well, this looks like a parachute. This looks like a backpack. So which one is it? Well, you better be sure before you get to jumping out in it. Truth will be your biggest battle that you're going to be facing. Why do we know that? Because the Bible says in the last days, there's going to be perilous times. Everybody say perilous. Now, that's a good word, but what does it mean? Trying, trouble. You know what it really means? Extremely dangerous. Now, that puts something in it. In the last days, times will be what? Extremely dangerous. Extremely dangerous. Not just, well, we're just going through a difficult time. He said, the last day is going to be extremely dangerous. And he goes on, he says everything, be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and be disobedient, be ungrateful, be treacherous, and it names all the, listen to this one, right on down at the end, he says, they will have a form of godliness. They'll look like church. They'll talk like church and sometimes act like church, but they will deny the power. And he goes on and says, people with this, avoid them. So it says avoid them. Why is that? Because we can have all the form in the world and not have him. You know what the problem is? The church has learned to have service without God. That's a problem. I was telling one of our Sunday school teachers, I guess she's still back there today. I guess she's still there during the service, but I was fixing my thing and my hair, and I said, I got to get this thing right or it'll bother me. And then I made this statement. I said, if God shows up, it ain't going to matter anyway. But if he don't, I'm in trouble. If all you hear is what I have to say, and that's all you're going to hear. So you need to hear God. You need to hear him. You need to say that should be why you're here. Collectively together should be why you're here, is to hear him. To hear him. You know that word is called shamal. Jesus said, come unto me. Does anybody know that passage? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will what? I will give you rest. Rest from what? The weariness and the heavy ladenness. The burden. I will give you rest. Just come to whom? Come to him. He didn't say go to a medicine bottle. He didn't say go to an alcohol bottle. He didn't say go. He didn't say go to the worries, go to anxiety, go to this, go to that. He said, come to me. Everybody say, come to him. Come to me, all you that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What's the rest of it say? Anybody know? Take my yoke. How many of you know Jesus had a yoke? You know what? Do you know what the yoke is and what he's talking about? Come up here, brother. I like picking on you. I really do. He was Jesus the other week. How you doing today? Good.
So far.
Well, yoke means to have this and... I should have picked somebody taller. This and this connected. In other words, when I go this way, he goes that way. When I stop, he stops. When I run, he runs. When I back up, he backs up. When I go sideways, he goes sideways. Oh, he stepped on my toe. Why? Yoked. Everybody say yoked. He said, take my yoke. My yoke. He's got one. Jesus has got one. He yoked himself when he was on the earth. He yoked himself with, anybody know? It'd be an interesting discovery. Thank you, brother. I'm limping. Stepped on my toe. No, miss. If I'm to take his yoke, he didn't say, I'll give you my yoke. He said, I'll give you rest. But he says, you have to take my yoke. What was he yoked to? You know what? That was his shamal. What was his shamal? You want to hear what it was? Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one God. Love him with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, and all of your might. That's what he's yoked to. In the New Testament, a scribe came to him and said, what is the greatest commandment? What is the first commandment? What is the first commandment? What did Jesus say? Right off the bat, seek ye first, right? What? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength, all of your soul, all of your ability. Love him. And the second one, love your neighbor. Here's a catcher. Love your neighbor as he loved you. I didn't know what the Bible said. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do you know why we have struggles loving other people? We do not have a love for ourselves. I just thought I'd throw that out there. So he says, take my yoke. Well, what is his yoke? He's yoked to loving God with everything that's in him. That's his yoke. Then he says, you take my yoke. What does that mean? You get up underneath it too. And you yoke yourself with Jesus. That's his yoke. Why? Because one part of it's on him. That's how we become co-laborers with Christ. Why? Because it is his strength that we're going to be able to get this done. It is his power that is going to work through me to accomplish the things that I need to accomplish. It is his grace. It is his truth that is going to be able to fulfill the very things that he told you and I to be able to fulfill. Why? You won't do that without taking his yoke. The most powerful voice that ever walked the earth was Jesus. And he described himself. He says, come and learn of me. That's seeking him first. come and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. The most powerful voice on earth described himself as meek and lowly. Boy, I tell you what, we've lost a lot of that. Without the humility, we will not find the grace. This stuff about grace without accountability is dangerous. Why? He said he gives you truth and then he gives you grace to be able to fulfill it. Grace is the empowerment, the divine ability to be able to accomplish what he's told you to do. That's grace that he gives us. Do you know that you can, everybody say, do you know that you can fall from grace? A lot of people say, well, you can go out and you can do this wrong and that'll fall from grace. That's not what he's talking about. When it talks about falling from grace, he's talking about getting back under the law and trying to achieve righteousness and achieve the works through being legalistic by the law. He said, when you start doing that, you're falling from grace. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. To be able to get back under the law of rules and regulations, get under the laws and rules and regulations to be able to make sure that we attain through the laws. No, you attain through him. You become through him. I really enjoyed what Gina Tipton shared the other week when, I guess it was last week, when she talked about the righteousness of God. It's what she is, and she's the righteousness. Do you know why she's the righteousness of God? Anybody know? Why is she the righteousness of God? Anybody know? Born again in Jesus, but there's another. Born again, yes. And because she's born again in Jesus, what happened? Listen to it. You want it plain and simple? He made her righteous. He made you. Everybody, you're not self-made in your righteousness. Your righteousness is nothing. Neither is mine. But he made you righteous. Everybody say, he made me righteous. Now, if he made you righteous, guess what? You are righteous. That's a good word. You are righteous. If he made you righteous, you didn't make it. You didn't make it yourself. He made you. It is 3 minutes till 12. I got a lot to say. You're righteous by faith. He says that the Gentiles, they did not pursue righteousness. When you were a heathen, did you, an unbeliever, did you pursue righteousness? Nah. Mm-mm. He said they didn't pursue righteousness, but they attained it. Why did they attain it? By faith in him, and they became righteous. He said, Israel pursues righteousness by the law, and they hadn't attained it. Neither can they attain it. Why? Because it comes by faith, not by the regulations of do's and don'ts. Then he also says that Christ, this is over in Romans, it said Christ put an end to the law of righteousness. What does that mean? And you don't have to work to be righteous because you can't work enough to get there. It's the reason he made you and I righteous. He made and he gives us the truth. If we do not seek the truth from him, we will begin to believe something to be the truth that didn't come from him. Happens every day. Happens all the time. But it's not him. That's the reason the greatest battle is finding time to seek him. By the way, I will read. I got so many verses to read, but Exodus 33:7. Now, Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp. Everybody say a good distance. You know what that means? That means a long way from the camp. And he called it the tent of meeting. And it came about that everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Now, what all does that mean? It means this. If you want to seek God and seek his kingdom first, you're going to have to break away from the camp of the familiar. That's the reason he got a tent, left the dwelling that he was in, got a tent, went a great distance, a good distance away from the camp in order to be seeking God. And it said whenever anybody wanted to seek God, they would go a great distance outside the camp of the familiar. Do you know that we're so unconsciously ruled by the familiar that if we don't understand it and break away from the familiar, that we will not seek God the way we need to seek him? Are y'all hearing me? What does that mean to you and I today? Well, in the New Testament, he said this. He said, when you pray, get in your closet and close the door. When you pray, get in your closet and close the door. When you pray, get in your closet and close the door. Now, I don't know about y'all's closet. But I can't get in my closet. You know why? Stuff. I got stuff that I don't even use. He said, when you pray, get in your closet. Get in this place and close the door. In other words, shut yourself off from everything else. Seek him. Seek the kingdom. Seek the truth. And he'll give it to you. And not only will he give it to you, he'll tell you he's giving you the grace to be able to fulfill it. Amen. He'll give you grace to be able to walk out. He'll give you the grace in order to live out the very righteousness, to live out the very holiness, to live out the very thing that's already inside you and I. We try so many times to try to attain the favor of God when he's already given you the favor. Yes. But we got to seek him. Why do we seek him? Because the moment, see, we seek, how many of you have sort of, sometimes your Christian life has got to the place where you seek God when you have to. Now, is anybody hearing me? Seek, something's going on, I better go seek God. I need this, I better go seek God. Oh, this is not going well, I better go seek God. My wife said you should have sought God before you had your truck fixed. I don't like it when she's right. No, I really do. Seek God. But maturity begins to happen when you seek God for him. Just want to be in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. So I said, well, I really need to get reconnected to my joy that's inside me. I'm not connected to it. Guess how you do that? In his presence. Seeking him. Why? Just because of him. Just because of who he is. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? So Moses said, Moses had to pitch the tent way outside the camp. And it said that when Moses went in, there was a cloud that formed, the cloud of his presence. Do you want the presence of God to start being manifested? Break away from the familiar and start looking for him. Seek him and you'll find him. Seek him and you'll find him. Amen. 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 And everyone that sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was, somebody says, I asked somebody, it's been a good while back, and I said, well, you know, this big thing was happening in his life and everything, and I said, well, have you asked God about it? He said, I ain't had time. Really? He said, I really hadn't had time. And I said, man, I wish he'd give you as much time as he's given me. He looked at me and he said, well, he has. And I said, well, then he's given you enough time. You're blaming God for your lack of time when you should redeem the time. Come on now. When you redeem the time, you have to go buy that back. The time that you have put and your time that you have given to stuff, to familiar. See, we're confident. See, we will fall back to the familiar in a heartbeat. Why? Because we think we're secure in it. Why? Because we sort of know this angle. I got news for you. Somebody in here, God's going to give you a new way to do an old thing. I don't know who that's for. God's going to give you a new way to do an old thing. Why is that? Why would he do that? Because you're going to seek him. You're going to seek him, and he's going to start giving you new ideas to do an old thing. Who wants that? Okay. Me too. A new way to do a new thing, to do an old thing. Why? Somebody said, well, I don't want an old thing. He says, restore the ancient paths. Yes. See, it's the ways of God. He said, the Bible says that there's going to come a time when people are going to stream up. Everybody say stream up, not stream down. Everybody say stream up. They're going to stream up to a mountain that has jetted up above all other kingdoms. Well, guess what that is? That's the kingdom of God. That is the mountain of God. He said, people are going to seek it out. People, in the last days, people are going to swarm and stream up to that mountain. Why? And they're going to say this, come, let us go up to the mountain. Why? Because that's talking about his presence, seeking his kingdom. Come, let us go up to the mountain, and he will what? Teach us his ways. He will show us his paths. Where? At the mountain of the Lord. There's coming a time when there's going to be a lot of people seeking God. When what we have been so secure in, when it begins to crumble, because we've had so much security in it, God says, listen, what, you know, when he says everything's shaking and only that of God is going to be standing, you know, that's a blessing. And I said, I'm afraid. Somebody told me one time before, I'm afraid for that day to happen. And I said, it's already happening. It's going to happen a little bit more severe. But that is a blessing. Why is that a blessing? It's because everything that's laying on the floor, you know that you don't need to put your confidence in that anymore. Only what is standing can you trust in. Only what is standing is what you can lean into. Only the truth will survive. Only the truth. Come, let us go up to this mountain. Let's go spend some time with God. Let us go spend time with God and let him teach us his ways. And he'll show us the path that we need to walk in. We need to learn the ways of God. You're not going to have it any other way other than being humble and coming to him. Humility will pave the way for us to be able to be taught. You ever try to teach somebody that already knows? Wave at me. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been one of those that somebody was trying to teach you something and you felt like you already knew it? Wave at me. Oh, see, you got some honest folk in here. Why is it? You know, it just frustrates me to no end. I try to tell them, I already know that. Well, I already know that. What? I already know that. And I said, okay, I'm done. Hey, man, you need to teach me. Yeah. Why is that? Why? Because we think we have it all figured out until something begins to shake and things start falling. So, oops. I tell you what, have some trust in some money. I love it because we said, in God we trust. All others pay cash. No, it doesn't say that, does it? In God we trust. Why? Because it's not the money. It's only money. We need it. That's the reason Jesus said, you cannot serve both of them. You cannot be ruled by both of them. And my Bible says, you will love the one and the word is hate. And I'm like, he said, you'll love the one and hate the other. What does that mean? You can love money. When you start loving money, what does your Bible say? You will have a hate for Christ. Nobody, we don't, oh, no, I never, well, that's what the Bible says. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's the reason we must seek him first and not the money. Okay. Did y'all learn anything today?
Yes.
Y'all ready for your next assignment?
Yes.
First Peter. Chapter 5. Five through 10. First Peter. Let me make sure that's right. I wrote it down. First Peter 5, 5 through 10. It'll start out saying, you young, you that are young, but then be, the next part of it says, all of you. All of you. First Peter 5. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that passage. I want you to read that passage. I want you to pray over that passage. I want you to meditate on that passage. I want you to use reference books to find out, or computers, and reference some things and find out, what does this word mean? What does this mean? Ask the Holy Spirit to give you revelation on it. This is a practical way of growing in Christ. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. All right, what do I want you to study? First Peter 5, 5 through 10. Come back next week and we'll talk about it. We'll look at it. It's going to be loaded with things that God's going to show us. Why? Because we're going to seek him first. We're going to seek his kingdom about it. We're going to seek his governing ability. How many of you are ready for the fire of God? Amen. By the way, he's not here now, but that vehicle he drove, he said there ain't many people that can drive up in $500,000 vehicle. And I said, I almost got that in my truck. No, I didn't say that. Wanted to. That's the reason God sits in the heaven and laughs. That boy has not asked me about this yet. But I bet he will. Oh, isn't God good? Stand to your feet. I'm telling you, he's good. Give him praise. Give him praise. I didn't finish that thing about the yoke. You have to take it and you have to put it on. You have to take the humility. You have to take the lowness of heart of who he is and put him on. You have to be governed by that thing. And he says, take my yoke upon you and you shall learn of me and you shall find rest for your souls. He said, if you're weary and heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. That's all you want, that's all he'll give you. Then he goes on, he says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, being humble. I tell you, humility is rapidly leaving the body of Christ and I don't like it. We're so prideful and arrogant. We just think we got it all going on. We got this many members. We got this. We got this. Hey, come. We're just it. Well, you are until it shakes. Is that true? Listen, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly, and you shall find rest for your soul. You want rest for your soul? Take his yoke. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I adore you. I love you. You're so good. You're so good. Lord, teach us to seek your kingdom first beyond anything else. Because we want your addition and we want your reward. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Read that passage and we'll come back next Sunday and study.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.